The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's jazz it up. Let's all get together now.
Welcome to the Laura Theodore Podcast. You may know me from my popular television show, Jazzy Vegetarian, where I feature easy and delicious vegan recipes, along with tips for living a kinder, plant-based life. Now I invite you to join me here each week, where I'll welcome amazing guests to share upbeat and informative conversations featuring motivational lifestyle advice and nutritional guidance, plus lots of jazzy-licious recipe ideas. It's all served up with sensational music on the side.
Music.
So let's get talking. Hello, hello. Welcome to the Laura Theodore Podcast. I am so happy that you're here with me today. Man, we have a really, really great show. But I'm sending good wishes to you and your loved ones and to your family for a healthy, happy, and peaceful holiday season. And I hope that this podcast today will inspire you, inform you, and even entertain you. Oh, yes, we have got a fantastic show in store for you with the incredible Diane Wenz, and she is author of the Big Book of Vegan Cooking. If you are looking for delicious vegan recipes developed by a master vegan cook, the Big Book of Vegan Cooking is packed with satisfying, delectable dishes along with up-to-date vegan nutrition information, shopping lists, and a comprehensive two-week getting started plan. Really, really great cookbook to add to your plant-based cookbook collection. I highly recommend it. And of course, I'd like you to stay with us throughout the show because later on I've got my fantastic recipe of the week plus lots of good news happening here at the Laura Theodore Podcast and Jazzy Vegetarian, of course. Well, it is now my great pleasure to welcome Diane Wenz, who is a certified holistic health coach, vegan lifestyle coach, and plant-based chef. Diane has a certificate in plant-based nutrition, and she coaches people from across the globe, supporting them in improving their health and well-being, as well as making dietary and lifestyle changes needed to go vegan. She's the author of the Truly Healthy Vegan Cookbook and, of course, the Big Book of Vegan Cooking, which is what we're going to be talking about today. I can't wait. I'd like to welcome her to the program right now. How are you today, Diane?
Thank you so much for that lovely intro, Laura. I'm doing really well. How are you?
I am doing pretty good, and I am very, very excited about talking about this book, which, of course, anybody can purchase anywhere that fine books are sold. So I want to get right into it. It's interesting. You know, you think about vegan eating, and I think originally when I thought about it many, many, many moons ago, you think about, okay, it's going to be lettuce and salad and steamed vegetables, and that's going to be the whole thing. But I love that in this book you describe why vegan food is so much more than just a salad.
It is. It's so much. It's everything. I think anything you can make, I can make vegan, you know. Tacos, pizza, even like fancy dishes like risotto or like piccata, you can veganize those so easily with beans and nuts and seeds and tofu, tempeh, seitan. It's so easy to veganize pretty much anything from the omnivore world.
It really is. And, if you know, that's what I'm all about, you know, the spaghetti and meatballs and the Hungry Man burger, burgers, fries, you know, lasagna, as you said, any kind of casserole. It's just, well, these days, of course,
you know, when we started out years ago, it was a little tougher. But now with all of the essentials, and you can get them in any major supermarket, it really is easy to veganize just about anything and everything. And so let's get to that supermarket part of it. I think that's the one thing that can sometimes be a little challenging, because you go into the supermarket and, you know, you walk in, it's beautiful, the fruit, the vegetable section. That's always my favorite section to go to. But then you go and you want to buy, you know, your herbs, your spices, your seasonings. Maybe you want to find some vegan cookies to make a cookie crust. And I loved that on page 5 of the book, you really got into your top tips on how to be conscious of not-so-vegan foods. Talk about that, if you would, please.
Yeah, it can be a little tricky, especially to new vegans. And I think that, you know, sometimes people look for that V symbol on packages. And there is, as far as I know, there's no legislating body over that. I think you can just put it on any product if you want to. It's not, it doesn't mean anything. And I've even had people like try to send me products for review that aren't vegan. So I think sometimes even the manufacturers don't understand what some of the little hidden ingredients are. One of the big ones is gelatin, and that kind of sneaks its way into all different kinds of things. Like it's in some candies, some gummy candies, and marshmallows, and even like Jell-O. And I think it is, people are becoming a little more savvy to it, and it's they're using pectin and agar seaweed and stuff instead. But it can sneak its way into things. You know, you have to make sure there's no gelatin in there when you're buying like jelly beans and jelly candies and things like that.
Yeah, well, you know, for those who might be wondering, what is gelatin made out of?
Oh, it's so disgusting. It's made from like tendons and ligaments and bone marrow.
Wow. Yeah, the other one, too, that's big is cheese. You want to make sure with your vegan cheese you don't have any kind of, you know, lactic acid in it or those types of things. And it can really be hidden. And I found that out, too. I used to always think that that V on the package, well, that means that it's vegan. And sometimes people just, like, decorate the package or something with it.
And I think some menus, too, sometimes on menus they'll put the V and it's for vegetarian.
The casein and cheese too, right? The casein.
Yeah, the casein. That's that. I think it's easier to find. It's definitely easier to find vegan cheeses these days. And I don't know of too many brands that still use the casein. But back years ago, you'd have to really be careful because there were a lot of lactose-free cheeses that still had casein in them. And I know I ate them accidentally a few times, not reading the package very well.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Me too. And that's when I started saying on the blog, on the radio show, on the television show, take your glasses into the store. Because a lot of times, I don't know, I think it's on purpose that they make the ingredients so small, but you have to put your glasses on. And I just read through everything. I don't care if I'm standing in the aisle for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I just make sure that there's nothing in there that is, that could possibly be an animal product. And so that's something that's very, very helpful and very, very helpful to know. And years ago, I will admit, I did the same thing. Many, many years ago, there were all these cheeses and everybody thought they were vegan and they had that little, how do you say it? Casein. I never know how to say that.
Casein,
yeah. Yeah. Which is, anyway, it's a milk derivative. And it would be in there. But they don't really use it. I agree with you anymore. Now, I think we think about cooking healthy and we think about this bounty of fresh fruits and fresh vegetables. But now, you know, in the winter season, a lot of times we can't get these fresh vegetables and these fresh fruits. And so perhaps we're going to start cooking with frozen, or perhaps we're going to start cooking with canned. I think canned vegetables, canned fruit, canned foods in general get a bad rap. And I like that you talked about that in the book. Talk about that, if you would, for a few minutes, please.
Yeah. If it's a matter of fresh is always best, but maybe you can't get fresh because of you know, it's winter and it's difficult to get things, or sometimes you can only go grocery shopping once every week, once every 2 weeks, and it's going to go bad. So if you can't get fresh, I always say frozen is better. Frozen, the vegetables are actually frozen as soon as they're picked. So frozen vegetables are usually actually fresher than fresh, because fresh might have to get it on a truck from across the country to get to you. So frozen is, I would say, it's the second choice. Sometimes it can even be your first choice. And when you're cooking with frozen, you don't even have to defrost it. You just take it straight from the freezer and use it in the recipe in most cases. And then canned isn't always as nutritious because of whatever goes on in the canning process. They can lose nutrients in the canning process. And a lot of times canned vegetables can be pretty salty because they add salt to, since the vegetables kind of lose flavor in the canning process, salt is added to add flavor. So if you are buying canned, I would say look for the low sodium so you're not just getting like all your sodium intake for the day in one little can. I grew up on canned vegetables, so I don't like them anymore. They just seem like too limp and tasteless, like canned green beans and stuff. I don't really like those. But I do, I keep on hand in my pantry. I like to keep like diced tomatoes and artichoke hearts, hearts of palm, sometimes corn too, because I think corn is okay. Corn doesn't bother me, the flavor, when it's canned. You know, those are good. Like, you can just open up a can and put it in like a quinoa salad, or even mix it in with your tacos or burritos or something.
Or chili or something.
Oh, yeah, chili too, yeah.
You know, I agree with you 100% on everything you just said. And, you know, I do keep some canned things, you know, for emergencies, et cetera, et cetera. I do love using, you know, frozen veggies. I always keep them in the freezer. But canned tomatoes, canned artichoke hearts, canned olives, I even do, in a pinch, use canned mushrooms. I started using those when I couldn't get fresh mushrooms, and I do keep them if I'm doing a casserole or I'm doing a quick lasagna, in a pinch, they can work, particularly the organic cremini mushrooms. But of course, there's canned beans. I'm pretty lazy, and I do tend to use the canned beans over the, you know, the dried beans. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I do too. I buy the canned as well. It takes a while to cook beans. So, you know, I used to use my slow cooker. I would cook them in the slow cooker overnight. And even that, I got a little lazy with that. I know you can use your pressure cooker. I do have cooking instructions for beans in the Truly Healthy Vegan Cookbook. But yeah, I'll admit most of the time I do just reach for the cans. And again, I think you need to look for the low sodium because they do put a lot of salt in there to flavor them. But I do think that fresh beans taste a lot better. They have like a bite to them that just tastes a little different. But since canned beans is what I eat so often, I honestly don't notice. You know,
yeah, I must admit, I'm the same way, because I'm one of those people that like, I'll plan a meal in my mind, you know, and then as I'm going through, particularly in the week when work is really busy and so many people are experiencing, you know, even though people are still working at home, busy work days, busy days, and so you get to that time where you're making dinner, it's like, I didn't make any beans, I got to go to the canned beans.
Yeah.
Well, we're speaking with the amazing Diane Wenz. She is the author of the big book of vegan cooking, 175 recipes for healthy vegan lifestyle. And you can visit Diane at dianesvegankitchen.com after the program and learn more about her. And of course, you can get her book wherever fine books are sold. And I do recommend that you do that. And after the program today, too, you're going to be able to go to the Jazzy Vegetarian website, and we have several fantastic holiday-centric recipes from the Big Book of Vegan featured there, along with links to purchase Diane's book and to her website, and so you do want to visit, but wait until after the show. Don't go right now. Now, many people, they email me after they see the television show, and they say, well, you know, I'm really, really, really wanting to go vegan, but I just don't know how to get started. And I was really impressed with the way you gave a really nice, you know, brief but thorough overview of your best advice on how to ease into veganism.
Yeah, I think going slowly is is really key. I think when people do get enthusiastic about it and they try to jump into it really quickly. And when people do that, they tend to burn out really quickly. I see that a lot in my health coaching practice where people were kind of like all or nothing and it just gets too overwhelming. So I think easing your way into it, maybe starting with one meal a day, starting to veganize recipes that you enjoy, maybe instead of ground beef tacos, you make black bean tacos, and maybe instead of cow's milk in your coffee, you go for some almond milk or some oat milk in your coffee. Just start making small changes like that, and that's just a lot easier than trying to clean out your cabinets, go shopping all at once, buying 10 cookbooks, and, you know, cooking things that are completely foreign to you.
Yeah. I mean, the best thing to do is once again, the cool thing about today versus, you know, 10, 15 years ago is that it really is easy to serve vegan burgers, vegan spaghetti and meatballs, vegan meatloaf, vegan casseroles, vegan lasagnas, vegan chilies, vegan soups. I mean, all these things, you can actually buy them pre-made. I don't do that very often, or I really don't do it at all these days, but it's easy to make them from scratch. And you can actually, for those casseroles, a lot of them, because if you want to use a meat analog, or you want to use, you know, your tofu instead of your cheese, or you want to use your vegan cheese that we spoke about earlier, what's fantastic is that you can, a lot of times, you can just make your regular lasagna, just substitute vegan ingredients, and nobody in the family is even going to know the difference. I mean, do you agree?
I agree, and I think lasagna is a great one to start with veganizing. You can make your own ricotta with tofu or cashews. I like to make it either way. I like to alternate what I use. You can get the vegan mozzarella. I actually have a vegan mozzarella recipe in Eating Vegan. You can buy it as well, and there are so many brands of mozzarella now, and you can just use vegetables. I actually made a vegetable lasagna last week, and I just loaded up with vegetables. Or you can use crumbles. You don't have to have meat. People who do like it meaty can use make a sausage or buy a sausage or crumbles or something like that.
Yeah, a vegan meat analog. There's so many of them.
Loaded
today.
Up with veggies.
Yeah, I agree. And I even make, I did this 2 days ago, believe it or not. I had a beautiful eggplant and I had some summer squash that just had, gotten it. Of course, with the eggplant, you want to use it pretty quickly. And I just sliced the eggplant and the zucchini, or the summer squash actually, into noodles, you know, by slicing them lengthwise so they looked like lasagna noodles. And I used a little olive oil and some Italian seasoning, and I roasted them, you know, so they would get soft. And then I just layered them in my lasagna casserole instead of even using noodles, along with some fresh mushrooms and some onion, some red onion. And then I made my own vegan ricotta, which takes all of 3 minutes to make if you're making it out of tofu. And it was fantastic. And my husband's always saying, I want noodles or this and that. But then he'll eat it and he'll say, this is just like lasagna, but it's not as heavy. So it's actually easy to start making things just out of veggies when you would like to, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, vegetables can stand in for so many things. Noodles, you can use zucchini or carrots. You've got that great carrot noodle recipe with the peanut sauce. Yep. And you can use cauliflower to make rice. You can make lasagna with what you just said, with the eggplant and zucchini. You can use zucchini to even slice it and make ravioli.
Yep.
There's so much you can do with vegetables.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I do eggplant rollatini, which of course, but you can make that vegan, and of course the zoodles, which so many people do the zoodles, but they're really, really good. And I love in this book too that you did nut-free recipes, gluten-free, soy-free, kid-friendly, 30-minute meals, one pan, one pot meals, and so whenever you have one of those, you have designated it on the recipe itself, is what I'm trying to say. So it's really easy to just thumb through, and if you know you need something gluten-free or soy-free, you can just look at the top of the recipe and find that's a recipe for you. So that's really great about this book, too.
Yeah, ones that don't say gluten-free, you can use, or nut-free, you can mix it up. Like the macaroni salad doesn't say anything like that because it uses my cashew aioli and pasta. But you can get vegan mayonnaise, which is nut-free, and you can use gluten-free pasta. So you can easily make it free of whatever you need to make it free of, gluten,
yeah,
or nut,
yeah,
or something like that.
I agree. It's a great book, very comprehensive. And as always, I love your recipes. I love your point of view. You actually put a little section in the book called Talk About How We Can Stop Listening to Outsized Noise. And please talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that's another aspect of it. I think there's two pieces of going vegan, right? There's knowing what to cook, and then there's also dealing with negativity from friends, family members, just society. And I think it's really important to have some kind of support system, you know, whether it's a local in-person group that you can join or if it's a group online. It's just really important to have those positive voices around you, because people will say things like, oh, I don't understand why you just won't eat cheese, and, you know, the menu's all messed up now because you won't eat the turkey for Thanksgiving. So it can be really difficult. So I think it's really important to have some kind of support and know people, you know other vegans. You have people that have been vegan for a long time that you can turn to for advice.
And you talked about support groups. Talk about that a little bit too, because some people are in a place where there isn't, you know, there isn't any support in their actual neighborhood or their actual town or city.
Yeah, you know, it used to be really big. There used to be like message boards and stuff that you could join for that. I think, you know, take a look on social media. Take a look on Facebook and see if there are groups. There are quite a lot of like big ones. Some bloggers actually have groups that you can join. I'll admit that I do have a Facebook group that I just haven't been doing anything with, so don't join mine. But I know there are a lot. You know, there are some that are for pressure cookers. There are some for like vegan at Trader Joe's. You know, there are so many different vegan groups on Facebook. I would say, I know people are kind of shying away from Facebook these days, but it's good for that support. It's good for hearing from people that you might not run into in your day-to-day life. So take a look and look around at all the different vegan groups and see which ones resonate with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree 100%. Well, this has just been amazing, as always, speaking with you. The name of the book is The Big Book of Vegan Cooking, and of course, Diane has two other books, and you can find them on Amazon or wherever fine books are sold. And do make certain to visit dianesvegankitchen.com. That's dianesvegankitchen.com after the program today, because she's got lots of healthy living tips, nutrition information, and recipes there. And Diane, I can't thank you enough for taking the time out of your busy day to be on this program once again. You're one of our, you've been on the program for many, many years, and we hope you continue to join us every now and then for a conversation. And I wish you a happy and healthy holiday season.
Thank you. You too. It was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on the show again, Laura.
Thank you so much, Diane. Well, that was the amazing, the incredible Diane Wenz. I can't thank her enough for being here with us today. And actually, you can find several of her festive holiday recipes from the new book on the Jazzy Vegetarian blog today. Three of them, in fact, to make a whole festive holiday meal. So just check it out at jazzyvegetarian.com. Well, in jazzy news this week,
it's time for the news. The news this week.
The news.
Laura's news.
The news.
Season 8 of Jazzy Vegetarian on public television is now re-airing all across the nation on the Create Channel every Sunday and Monday. Oh man, this is a fantastic season, and I know a lot of you missed it the first time around, so I do hope you're going to tune in. If you've been watching Season 9 on your local PBS or public television channel, I hope you're going to pick up a copy of my new companion book,
to Season 9, Easy Vegan Home Cooking. It's totally vegan, of course, and it's 100% gluten-free, something you've all been asking for, but I'm going to talk a little bit more about that book a little later on in the program. Of course, you can learn more about me and about Jazzy Vegetarian at jazzyvegetarian.com. That's jazzyvegetarian.com. Now, I know you've been waiting for it. It's time for it. My recipe of the week.
Vegan and delicious. My recipe of the week.
This is a fantastic dessert for the holiday season. It's my maple espresso chocolate mousse. It's so, so versatile, and it makes anywhere from 4 to 8 servings. I'll explain that to you in just a minute. And it only takes 10 minutes to prep for the refrigerator. So it's super, super easy to make, and you can refrigerate it from 4 hours to overnight. So it's great to make ahead. It really is perfect for a festive holiday celebration. It's a decadent tasting chocolatey, dairy, and egg-free pudding. It's a grown-up dessert because it's not too sweet and it's laced with coffee and maple and vanilla. It's such a creamy mousse, such a smooth mousse. And of course, it's designed to please all of the chocolate and coffee fans at your table. Wow. And one little jazzy note, if you want to serve this for a kid's party or for a family dessert, you can just leave the coffee out and substitute that coffee for more plant-based milk. So it really is a fantastic, very versatile dessert all the way around. And you're going to start off with 1/4 cup of sweetened or unsweetened vanilla-flavored dairy-free milk, 1/3 cup of strong brewed coffee or espresso, 3 tablespoons of maple syrup, 3/4 of a block, about 12 ounces of extra firm regular tofu. You want to use the refrigerated tub, drained and crumbled. You want to drain that tofu really well, but do not press it. It'll make the dessert too dry. Then 1 cup of vegan chocolate chips. I like to use the 55% cacao for this recipe. It makes it for the perfect amount of sweetness. And then all you need to do is heat the dairy-free milk, the brewed coffee, and maple syrup in a small saucepan over medium-low heat until it's simmering hot. Put the tofu in a high-performance blending appliance. Add the chocolate chips. Pour in the simmering dairy-free milk mixture and process it for 30 seconds to 1 minute or until it's completely smooth. I get a lot of questions and notes from people saying, oh, I tried to make a tofu dessert and it was too grainy. Well, the reason it's too grainy is you didn't process it long enough. You want to make certain that it looks just absolutely smooth. So once you finish processing it, take a good look. If you see any little particles in there or any lumps, you want to process it some more. You really can't overprocess it too much. You can, once again, blend it up to 1 minute, and it'll be nice and smooth. And then you're just going to spoon the mixture into 4 medium-sized dessert dishes or 8 espresso cups and refrigerate it for 4 to 24 hours. That's what makes this dessert absolutely fantastic. It is one that you can make the day before your celebration or your family dinner. And this is one I can tell you that everybody's going to say, I cannot believe that this is vegan, because it just tastes absolutely incredible. And this yummy recipe is from my new book, Easy Vegan Home Cooking, which will be released on February 8th, 2022. And I'm so excited about this book. It took me a long, long time to put this together, because all of the absolutely mouthwatering recipes in this cookbook are vegan and gluten-free. You've been asking me for years, I want vegan, I want gluten-free. Well, this book is 100% gluten-free and, of course, 100% vegan. And it focuses on bountiful breakfasts, light lunches, satisfying suppers, celebratory meals, and delightful desserts, all designed to please vegans, vegetarians, and omnivores, adults and kiddos alike. So you can pick up a copy at jazzyvegetarian.com, and I know you're going to love it. Well, the music today, another Christmas and holiday favorite. It's from my favorite holiday CD with the great late guitarist Joe Beck and Allie Ryerson. And it's just a wonderful tune. White Christmas. Well, this all flies by too quickly, and I can't thank you enough for being here with me again today. I'm always so honored when you choose this podcast to listen to, because I know you have a lot of podcasts to choose from. And I'm wishing you a healthy and peaceful holiday season. As always, be happy, be healthy, and be well. From me, Laura Theodore, a.k.a. the Jazzy Vegetarian.
Hi, I'm Liz Winter, and I have been a medium and a spiritual development teacher for over 30 years. On my podcast, All Aboard the Medium Ship, I want to share the message with you that there is a wealth of love and comfort available to you from the spirit world. On my podcast, you can experience this comfort and peace for yourself through gentle guided meditations and helpful messages. Make sure you subscribe and follow so you never miss an episode. Part of the mindbodyspirit.fm podcast network.